We're going to be thinking this morning together, as adults and children, something about what the Old Testament teaches us about us. And as we do that, I want to read a bit of Psalm 8. I want to read it in a particular version that I think brings out, in a very simple way, something of the meaning of that psalm. So it's Psalm number 8 in the children's Bibles that we use here, and it goes like this. Lord, our Master, your name is the most wonderful name in all the earth. It brings you praise in heaven above. You have taught children and babies to sing praises to you. This is because of your enemies, and so you silence your enemies and destroy those who try to get even. I look at the heavens, which you made with your hands. I see the moon and stars, which you created. But why is man important to you? Why do you take care of human beings? You made man a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You put him in charge of everything you made. You put all things under his control. All the sheep, the cattle, and the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that lives underwater. Lord, our Master, your name is the most wonderful name in all the earth. We are thinking, for quite a few of our all-age services coming up, about the first part of the Bible. It's the much bigger half of the Bible. So any of the children want to tell me what that first big part of the Bible is called? Yes. It's called the Old Testament. We're thinking about the Old Testament. It's part of the great story that is the Bible. And we introduced it a month ago, and we said this. In the Old Testament, and I have got the phone there if you want to text a question in. In the Old Testament, we learn about God, learn about ourselves, get ready for the Saviour. So if you want to say that with me, in the Old Testament, we learn about God, learn about ourselves, get ready for the Saviour. This is Welcoming Arms, get ready for the Saviour. Let's do it again because that was pretty underwhelming. In the Old Testament, we learn about God, learn about ourselves, get ready for the Saviour. Okay, and in particular, this morning, we're going to be thinking about what do we learn in the Old Testament about ourselves. Even when we do that, you can't help learning a bit about God and learning a bit about needing a Saviour. But the main thing we're going to be thinking about is what do we learn about ourselves? What does the Old Testament teach us about us? Boys, girls, men, women, humans. Now, I need three volunteers, junior age volunteers, who can come and help me. You've got to be kind of arty and like playing with Play-Doh, whatever age you are. So, yes, Oakley can be one. Are you putting a hand up, Caroline? Oh, sorry. Yeah, Evie will be fine. Oh, I don't know which one to choose out of you two. Who's been, like, really well-behaved? Okay, if you can catch these two, you can both do it, because I've got another one. You've got to catch them both. I mean, each of you got to catch one. That's what I mean. Oh, should I be that mean? There we go. Right, if you could come here on this table here. And no, this table here, sorry. And you'll have to sort of kneel down. You can come along if you want. It doesn't matter. There's a fourth one here. There we go. Who needs that one? Okay. Now, what I'd like you to do while I'm chatting is to get the Play-Doh out. Don't mix the colours, or all of us OCD people will just go crazy. So keep the colours separate. But what I would like you to do is do a model of me. I'd like you to make a little model of me in Play-Doh. No, I don't have to say still. You have to sort of just look at me, just remember me.
Do you have to do the face?
You can do the face if you want only, that will be fine. If you want to do the body and face, that's fine. If you want to do me in some sort of athletic move, scoring a goal for Chelsea against Tottenham, anything like that will be fine. So if you do that while I carry on chatting, I hope we're not going to ruin the table. Don't take too long on it. It's kind of a quick job that you've got to do. So now, we're thinking about what the Bible teaches us about us. And the first thing is that God made us. We are made by God. We're going to think about this. We're made by God, we're made like God, and we're made for God. So, what was the first one of those? We're made by God. And what was the second one? We're made like God. And the third one was made for God. That's what we're going to do. So, the first of those is that we are made by God. And here's a very well-known verse from the Bible, at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and it says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." That's what it said in that psalm, wasn't it? About God making us and putting us in charge. And the next verse says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God made us. We are made by God. Now, we're going to experiment a little bit. Actually, I had a great experiment with my phone, but then my phone bust on Friday. So I'm going to try with my iPad. If I could have a volunteer child, reasonable height. No, not you. So someone... do you want to come and have a go? Maybe someone else as well would like to volunteer. Yeah, Ben, that would be good. If you come up here, that would be great. So, I don't know whether this is going to work, but I need this channel working now, Jim, if that's okay. So let me just try, just to see if it's working. Okay, here we go. What's the weather like in Haywards Heath today? Okay, the weather on the screen is 25 degrees C apparently today. That's the maximum that it's going to read. Right, now, see if it can answer the question that we're trying to answer about who made us. The Bible tells us that we're made by God. Let's see what this thing was made by. So when I press the button, if you ever go first, Isaac, I can say, who made you, okay? So when you hear the little beep, say, who made you? Here we go.
Who made you?
Like it says on the box, I was designed by Apple in California.
Very good. Right. Now, there's a different question you can ask, which is, how old are you? You ready?
How old are you?
A virtual assistant never reveals its age.
Okay, thank you very much. Brilliant. Wonderful. You can sit down now. You're really good. It recognises everyone's voice. Got to get it off that screen now. Everything in the universe that we know is made by someone. The iPad was designed by some people in California and made by someone somewhere, maybe in China. Everything is made and designed by someone. Human beings are made, they're designed by God. And especially in the Bible, not in Siri or in Google Assistant, that's bust anyway on my phone, we learn the answer to the question, who made you? When we ask ourselves that question, who made you? The answer is God. He made us because he made human beings at the very beginning, that bit we read in Genesis, but he also made us when we began life in our mother's tummy, in our mother's womb. He also made life then. The Bible tells us he's completely in charge of the beginning of life. He made human beings at the beginning, but he made your life start at the beginning as well. So we are made by God. Okay, so we're made by God. The second thing is that we're made like God. Do you need a couple more minutes, you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. A model, whether it's a picture or whether it's something made out of Play-Doh, is supposed to look a bit like the thing that it's a model of. Let's have a go. Made by God, made like God. And we are a model. We are like God. The Bible tells us we're made in the image of God, or in the likeness of God, which means there are things about you and me that's a little bit like God. Just like there are things in these models that are a little bit like me. So we're going to have to stop now, guys. It's a very good job. But if you want to sort of hold them up and show them, or if you think they might fall apart.
Who's going to vote?
No one's going to vote. No, there's no winners and losers here. Everyone's a winner. So, do I need to hold the table up? Let me just put that out of the way. Okay, here's Oakley's. If you want to show that one, it's blue. It's a Chelsea player. And there's a football. And there was a goal, wasn't there, as well?
Yeah, but I broke it.
So does it look like me?
No, it's meant to be you.
Yes, does it look like me? Yes, I think it does. Yeah. It's made slightly in my likeness. Very good, Oakley. If you want to sit down, Oakley, that would be good. While we just show the others.
Wait.
Okay. Jolie. Here we go. This is another likeness of me. Very deep-set, sunken eyes, if you can see. And is that my big lips? Do my lips like that? Or a kind of moustache? Is that how you see me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
And here's that one. Perhaps you better hold it in your hand, because it looks like it might fall apart. So here's another one. I'll leave them on the table, and you can look at them later. But that's me in green. Very big eyes. Very big lips. One of my arms is falling off, which feels, that's good. And then this is more of a whole model standing up. Oh, it's the head, I get it. Oh, yeah. I've got eyes bulging out of my head. And do I have hair in this one? Yes, I've got lots of hair, apparently, according to this. Right, that's brilliant. Now, I've got one more thing to do before you sit down. I just want you to do this, really simple. Could you make those models come to life?
No way.
3D.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Could you give us an hour?
I could give you 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't think you can do it. Later. But for the moment, I can give you 10 seconds to make them come to life.
What?
Done! Okay. Have they come to life?
Yeah.
I'm afraid they haven't.
Yeah,
now, what I'd love you to do, he's sitting up, and that's pretty good, but of course you've got to do it with your hands to make it happen. Now, if you guys could sit down, just so we don't have Play-Doh everywhere, and we'll leave the models there, anyone who wants to come and look later and admire them. If you guys could sit down, that would be brilliant. I meant sit down back in your chair, sorry. You see, don't take any Play-Doh with you, please. That would be brilliant. Thank you. Well, we can make things. And we can make things that are like other things, or like other people. When God made us, he gave us life. We can't do that. But when God made us, there was something about us, in a much better way than these Play-Doh models, or even just a picture, there's something about us that reflects something about God. We're made like God in some way. And really, we could talk about things that we do that are a bit like God. The fact that we're people with our own thoughts, that we love, that we want to relate to other people, that we create things, that we're moral and all those kind of things. But really, it's interesting to think about the third point, to think, well, how are we made like God? Whoops. And it's more to do with our purpose, that we're made for God. We're made for God. And I want to introduce thinking about that by just giving you some objects that you can guess what they are. Because things are always made with a purpose. This was made with a purpose, these little things, purpose of helping me in this service. And I've got some objects on the screen, and I'd like you to try and guess what their purpose is. Some of them are old, and some of them are things you know, but they're taken close up. So the first one is quite an old thing. So here we go. Anybody want to guess the purpose of this thing? Yes?
Music.
No, that's a very good guess, though. Anyone else want to guess, Oakley? Oakley, yeah? No, do you know what I thought you'd guess? What do you think? What do you think I thought you would guess that it was to do with? I thought you'd guess it was something to do with eggs. Because it looks the shape of an egg, doesn't it? And then I could say, no, it's nothing to do with eggs. But you didn't guess that. So it is actually a very old-fashioned perfume box. So people would wear it around their necks and it would have perfume in it to make them smell nice. You could all do with one of these today. Okay, this one, it's kind of old, but you can still use them quite a lot. Anybody know what that is? Zara? A wine cup. No, very good guess. It looks a bit like that, doesn't it? Anybody else? Yes, Noah? A what? A pinard. What is a pinard? Pardon? Oh, a midwife's thing. Well, it might be. Oh, did you tell him that that's what it was? Okay. Working on the basis that no one knows what that word is, and there's another word that we know a bit better, yes? Yes, an old-fashioned stethoscope. Apparently it's called a pinard, but midwives use it. But yeah, you put the you put this bit on the chest and you put that bit in your ear and you can hear the heart beating if it is. So that's what that is, an old-fashioned stethoscope for listening to people's hearts. Do midwives still actually use those, Keturah? Do they? Ooh, interesting. You learn a lot, don't you? Right, this one should be quite easy. This was made with a purpose. Someone who hasn't answered anything yet? Yes?
A horsey jump.
You know what? It could be, actually. It's kind of a bit like a horse jump. Go over the middle there. I thought you'd get this one really easily. Yes? It's a hat rack? No. But it's a bit like a hat rack. It's for something a bit bigger, yes?
Is it a wooden tree?
No, but it's made of wood. It's not a wooden tree, but it's made of wood. Yes. A limbo dancing thing. No. I could get under the higher one, but not the lower one, I don't think. Okay, if I give you a slight cue, it's something to do with boats. It's a canoe rack. Oh, I thought that was the easy one. Sorry. Right. This one you'll probably never get, so I'll give you about 5 seconds to guess. Yes. It's a spoon of sorts. Any adults know what kind of spoon? It's a sort of basting spoon, but a particular thing. It's to do with ships. It's a tar basting ladle that you use for putting... there's lots of them in museums. You should visit museums more or just go on the internet a lot. Right, another one. Please, somebody who hasn't answered, have a go at this one. Yes, Liz. It's a hammer. It's like a hammer. Absolutely right. Yes? So it's a hammer with a particular purpose. Yes? Oh, I thought you, Sophie, might know. Sophie, sorry. There's other people who might know. Okay, any children who know what this is? If I say, yes, Oakley? It's hammer with rubber on the end. What's the actual technical name for it, anyone who's a doctor? Is there a technical name for it? No, okay. It's a thing that you tap on your knee to make your knee kick. So it's a reflex thing. So you get it and you bang your knee and your knee kicks out like that. So it might have a name, but I don't know. That's what that hammer is. I'm sorry if these are a bit hard. Right, these are easier. These are things you absolutely know what they are and what their purpose is, but it's taken close up. So, right over there, yes. It is a pencil. Yes. Very good. Okay, next one. Dead easy, now you've got the idea. Yes. It is a paper clip. Wonderful. Okay, one more, I think. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Straw.
Straw is not the answer. You've answered. Lots of people. Anyone who hasn't answered want to answer? Yes? It is a toothbrush. Yes, it is. There we go. All those things made with a purpose. They're not really made like the person who made them, but they're made with a purpose. And we are made with the purpose of knowing, loving, serving, praising God. And the Old Testament helps us learn that we're made by God. He made us. We're made like God. There are things about us that reflect things about God. Lots of things, really. But especially, we relate to God by being made for Him. God made you, God made me to acknowledge, to praise, to serve Him in the way that the animals never do. Anyone want to try again with Siri, another child who hasn't tried it already? There's a very particular pack of volunteers this morning. So, have a go. Come on, have a go, yeah. Don't know if it'll work with your voice. It's very exciting. Right, here we go. Sorry, I didn't tell you what you need to ask, did I? It was in my head, but not in yours. Okay, what I want you to ask is, what is your purpose? Have a go.
What is your purpose?
I'm here to help. Just ask, what can I say, and I'll show you what I can do.
Very good, thank you. So this little device here has a purpose to serve us, to help us. And our biggest purpose in life is to serve God. Not to help Him out because He doesn't know stuff. Not to help Him out because He can't do things because He's a bit weak. But we serve God by doing what He wants and pleasing Him and praising Him. And in particular, one of the things that God has put us in charge of is the world that we live in. And He said to us, you're in charge of the world. I don't need you to look after the world. I can look after it. But I'm giving you the job of looking after the world. That's what your purpose is. And we're here to praise God by obeying Him, by thanking Him, and by looking after the world. So we are made by God, like God, for God. That's what the Old Testament teaches us. It teaches most of that in that first verse, Genesis 1, where it talks about the fact that God made us, the fact that God made us like us, and that He made us to rule over the world. So we are made by God, like God, for God. God made us. God made us to be like Him, living in His world, under His rule, looking after the world, obeying Him, praising Him. And the Old Testament teaches us that. But also, it teaches us something very sad about what we've done with our job and what we've done with the world. So just three simple things that it teaches us about that. And the first is this. We have gone our own way. I'm just going to read a little bit. Whoops. Gone our way, lost our way, and need a way back. Let me go to this verse. God put Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman, in a garden, not like a little garden, but a big kind of estate sort of garden, imagine it like that, and He put them in that place to look after it and to obey Him. And God gave them a whole garden of yes, a whole garden of things that they could do, things that they could enjoy, and a whole world to go out and subdue and to understand. So He gave them a whole garden, in fact, a whole world of yes, of things to do. But at the same time, He gave them one tree of no, a A whole garden of yes, one tree of no. And he said, if you reach out and eat of that tree, then you will not just know my goodness, you will know evil, you will know badness, because you have disobeyed me, because you have stopped trusting me, things will follow on from that. And the question for them was, would they trust God? A whole garden of yes, one tree of no, would they trust God? And you probably know the story, but here's a verse that reminds us of the central thing that happened. When the woman, Eve, saw that the fruit of the tree was good, this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of no. When she saw the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, when she wanted to be like God in a way that God had not made her like God, then she took some of it and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and he ate it. A whole garden of yes, one tree of no. Adam and Eve did not trust God. They didn't think he was a good God who gave them the whole garden of yes and the one tree of no, because he was a good and purposeful God. They didn't trust that. They thought perhaps he wasn't so good and that he was holding something back from them. And Adam and Eve chose to go their own way. They decided that they knew better than God. They decided that they knew better how to make the rules. And although we feel sometimes that we know what it is to be like God, we feel a bit like God, and we kind of think, yeah, that's nice, I'm made like God, but we also feel this too, don't we, that we don't always trust God. We don't always think that God knows what he's doing when he tells us to do this and to not do that. We don't always think that God's word is best. We sometimes think that God is unfair. We sometimes think that God wants to stop us having fun. And what we're doing then is we're being just like Adam and Eve, who want to go to the tree where God said no, because they thought they knew better than God. So we have gone our own way, just like Adam and Eve did. We're made by God. We're made like God. We're made for God. But we have gone our own way. We have gone our own way. And because of that, we've lost our way. Now, I want one more volunteer to speak to my iPad who hasn't done it already. Anybody want to have a go? Oakley's done something else, so I just wanted to pick someone else. There was someone else. Zara, do you want to have a go? Have you got your hand up, Zara? Is that right? Yeah. Has she got a good, like, computery voice? What's the temperature? Oh, no, it's gone off already. I was going to do something fun while I was waiting. Right. I've forgotten what the question was. Oh, yeah, I know what the question is. Okay, so what I want you to ask is, where am I? Hold on. I've got to press the button first. Here we go. Where am I?
Where am I?
You're on Nine Pine Trees, Hayward's Heath, England.
Pretty good. Maybe it's nine. Thank you very much. It's not far away. Nine High Trees is just over there. So it's doing its best. Could have said, when it was in my house, it said, I live in number 35, it said 39 or something. It's because generally speaking, Apple stuff is not as good as Google stuff, generally speaking, especially when it comes to maps. My observation in life, you can argue about that, it's not something that we need to fall out over. But High Trees is just the other side of the park there. It's where Charlie and Nathan live, who I called something else this morning. It's Nathan Emmerich. It's because you have these neural links and you start to say a name and then you remember another name that links with it. Especially as you get older, it gets worse. Okay, so that's where we are. So in a way, we're not lost. I'm lost now. There we go. Come back. We're not lost today because we know where we are. We know we're not quite in High Trees. We're not far away, but we're not quite in High Trees. We know where we are. We haven't lost our way. But in life, we have. We've gone our way, and we've lost our way. You see, Where did Adam and Eve end up because of what they did? They ended up outside the garden of yes and out into the world, pushed away from being close friends with God. So they were pushed out into the world, and in that sense, they were lost and far away from God. It talks about Adam and Eve, and then the people who followed them, their descendants, walking further and further away from God, going farther east, more and more east of Eden, further and further away from God, until they were lost. And people are lost. It means Adam and Eve and you and I are lost. We've lost our way. We don't know our way back. We're sent away from God's presence. And although we have lots of good ideas, and although because of the way God made us, we can invent amazing things like iPads and Android phones and amazing other inventions that do clever things, stethoscopes and all the rest, and pencils. We can invent things. We can do great things. But basically, we are lost without God. We have lost our way. And because of that, finally, we need a way back. It's like we need a way back to God, like a map back to God. But actually, it's worse than that. You see, if God gave us a map of how to get back to God, how to get back, you might say, to the garden, even if we had a map, we still couldn't do it. Because our hearts are all wrong. And when we got to the garden and tried to get in, we'd realize God won't let us in because our hearts are all wrong, because we went our own way, and that's why we're lost. And we can't find a way back. We need a way back. But more than that, we need someone to take us back. And the Old Testament just gives us hints that there will be a way back. And we're going to think about that next time in our All Age service. But just to kind of get you thinking about it, the Old Testament teaches us that we need a savior, a rescuer, who can take us back to God, who can deal with the problem we think we know better than God, and who can also show us the way back. And all of the Old Testament is teaching us that there will be a Savior, and that Savior will be Jesus. He will live the life that we didn't live for the perfect glory of God. He will give up his life so we can find our way back to God. And Jesus invites you to not be lost anymore, but to find your way back to God through him. He calls you, actually he commands you, to come and follow him, to say, yes, God, I am lost, but I need Jesus to help me find the way back. Jesus is the one who can bring us back to God. If you want to really know what it is to be human, you need to look at the Bible and understand who we are, made by God, made like God, made for God. But if you really want to know what it is to live as a human being under the rule of God for the glory of God, you need a savior. You need Jesus. And I don't want you to have to wait a month. So if you feel right now, I want that savior, then speak to me or another Christian, you know, to say, well, how do I get this savior, Jesus, that's in the New Testament? Because I can't wait another month. And I'd be glad to talk to you about that, to teach you and to get you to think about how you put your trust in Jesus to forgive your sins and to show you how to live.